Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
It isn't good. It isn't good. there you go. There's one of my coughs.
But it's one of many, I'm sure. But that's all right. That's absolutely fine.
It's fine. It's first thing in the morning. I've started recording, but we haven't started.
No, okay.
So don't worry about that. This might be a good time, Tom, if you had any praise for me. This is normally what happens, you know. This is how chats start, isn't it, between two comedians. Oh, you were amazing the other night. And this would be really nice. And then...
Oh, yeah, sure.
Edit that and then put it into the podcast. And then people go, oh, look, Michael Legg is respected by his peers.
Michael Legg is respected. We had, the last time we gigged together was up the creek. And I remember the fabulous green room, which is ridiculous. There's a lot going on aesthetically.
It's a little bit of a museum, isn't it?
Yeah, a lot of stimuli going on. And Michael Adewale was there. Keith Farron had turned up. But I have to say, if you weren't there, it would have just been a mess. You know?
Yeah, I brought the room together, didn't I?
You gel it so well. But I'm only, you know, being playful there for the green room. But actually, for the gig, you made what could only be described as not exactly top billing, 23 or 22 people from Maidstone, all celebrating something and some ancestral relationship going on. You handled it like a pro.
Everyone, delight. Yeah. It was weird to see. It was weird to figure out what was going on, but there was definitely a family who were banging. And it was, I think that's weird. It's hard to bring an act on. I was comparing that night. It's hard to bring an act on when that knowledge is hovering in the air.
Yeah. And it was me that was coming on. And I watched you very, here's the thing, which I respect you as an MC, you know, great act as well. But as an MC, we're specifically talking about the fact that you're able to have this awkward moment and then build the room back up and explain how they needed to behave for when the next act was.
Yeah.
There's so many MCs don't do that.
Can you stop fucking for 5 minutes, family?
Go and wash your hands, please, before the next act.
Yeah. Yeah. Edward, no, it's great to see you. So we could put some praise for you in here. You're annoyingly naturally funny. Your punchlines have punchlines, and then there's another punchline.
Oh, that I've never heard before. I hear sometimes, you see, the thing is with you, Tom, sometimes your jokes, people miss them. And you're like... And I think to myself, that does happen a fair bit. But I think what, you know, I do is just, I don't know, is what I do. It doesn't seem to be TV worthy, but it's worthy of...
I'm not TV worthy.
No, but that's okay. I'm going to continue doing what I'm doing. But that's very kind. I don't often hang around after a gig to hear any feedback, good or bad. So I'll take that.
There's that school of thought, isn't it, though, in stand-up comedy, that if you're in the green room after you've been on and then you leave the green room, right, you say goodbye to everyone and you leave, if you don't hear cunt on the way out, then you probably are a cunt.
Yeah.
If people can't joke about you being a cunt, then you're probably a cunt.
Yeah, I did a gig recently with Esther Manito, and as soon as I'd come off, and it was a really nice gig, I walked into the green room and she went, "Don't worry about it, you'll get them tomorrow," right? And it's one of those classic lines where you're like, for a second, your brain goes, did she just say what, that isn't true? And you suddenly doubt yourself, and she had a smile on her face eventually. But I think that's what us comics like. We know when you've had a good gig, and we know that you're not a cunt.
I have a little bit of a similar one where I say to acts who've just come off stage and are feeling great, I just go, "Have you been on?" And it's really belittling.
that's brilliant. That's so. Do you know what? It's really playful. Comedians, when we're on form and we're actually playful, not trying to, you know, humble brag or any of that, but just those moments of just sheer, like, you're with your mates having a bit of a laugh, everything feels good.
Then it's all nice, right?
Yeah, 100%. It is. It's just when people need to tell you what they're doing and you're like, are you flexing because you're insecure? That's absolutely fine. Just don't come in with that vibe.
It is very hard work when a comedian walks into the dressing room and immediately fucking spews out their CV. I don't care. I know how this job works. Yeah. I understand that other people get work. I don't think I'm the only one that's gigging.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, yeah. Good.
It's like someone coming in and going, "I've done a lot of TV." I didn't. Are you still on the circuit? You're still going. And you're like, "Oh,
yeah."
But I had, just thinking of the Up the Creek, lovely gig. I remember being up there waiting in that very hectic feng shui room, and it's not important who the act is, but I was emceeing, so you're there all night. I don't need to explain how comedy works to you, Michael. But
I could do with the help.
Real good.
A refresher.
He came up and he just went, where are we at in the running order? And I said, the middle act, second middle act's just about to go on. And he went, oh, God, I could have done a third gig. And I was like,
"Oh, that's awful."
I sort of did an impression of him, but I was like, "Is this man?" And it is a man. Has got no like awareness of like coming. Like the MC's been there all night, and you're telling me how annoyed you are that you could have got a third gig in. He's just like, "Just rein it in."
It's exactly. It's not always easy.
No.
But, like we were just saying, it was great the other night. We're all in the dressing room. We're having a lovely time.
Yeah.
And also, I think I was too kind to backstage Up the Creek by calling it a museum. It's a car boot sale, isn't it? It's not a museum.
No, it's not a museum.
It's a load of shit. It's an attic, isn't it? It's a load of shit. Yeah. There could be a corpse in that room. And, like, we're just so used to the shit that's lying everywhere. We wouldn't notice a corpse.
No, you don't even try and tidy that place, because that's just years of just mess. But it's also got, if you got close to the walls to listen, you could hear the sadness of comedians. You can still hear it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's there.
Do you know, I don't know why I'm bringing this up. I'm not going to name the comedian, because you know what? He's a good guy. But I think maybe when he started out, I think he annoyed people by bragging about how great he is. And Do you remember a comedy club? You probably don't. There's a comedy club called Cosmic Comedy in Hammersmith. And he went backstage and it was a completely bare wall and he decided to sign his name on the wall. You know, like like rock bands do, you know, backstage at rock venues. And he just wrote his name. And then some other comedian at a later date wrote, "Is a cunt" underneath it. And then someone else wrote, "Is a cunt" next to it. And it just spiraled. So this guy had his name in the center of this wall with 1,000 "Is a cunts" written all around it.
Oh, I love that.
So there
that.
You go. You got to be careful.
Yeah.
Gotta don't be careful. Sign walls. Hey, we should start this. We should start this podcast. And I'll explain what it is in the intro. So don't worry about it. Thanks for doing this, mate.
No worries. Pleasure.
I mean, it's been gold so far, and I'm using every second of this. But we're starting now. That was like that. If anyone heard what just happened, that's free. And now this is the podcast. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Leg Hole. Another episode of Leg Hole. And you never guess what. Never guess who has fallen into the stinking Leg Hole today. It's none other than an absolutely superb comedian. It's Tom Deacon. Everyone applauds. Everyone applauds. Hello, Tom.
Hello, Michael. Thank you very much for having me. What a rapturous applause. I love that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, the listeners of Leg Hole, that's Neil. Don't know if you want to say hello to Neil. Hi, Neil.
Hey, Neil.
Hey, Neil. They applaud like fucking crazy. They have nothing else to do.
No. But, I love love. And so them doing that is really nice. And now...
Love's all now, right, isn't it?
Yeah, 100. But now it's up to me, isn't it? Like, I've got to respect that applause and, you know, make them
nothing's
feel
free, mate. No. Nothing's free.
That
nothing's
wasn't free. Wasted, the applause. I'll let them know now.
Oh, great. Okay. Well, listen, I, for one, am delighted. I'm a big fan of yours, a huge fan of yours, I'll be honest with you. And I would like to go out with you.
Okay.
There you go. I'm just throwing that out.
In what context?
I think, well, I've been really, really honest. I would like to consider you a friend. I would like to hang out with you as a friend. But I'll be honest with you. I'm a straight man. I don't know if you're straight. I've absolutely no idea. But I'll be honest with you. I think I would like you as a boyfriend.
Yeah. All right. I mean, can I? I feel like I am good. What I'm getting a lot in my own actual relationship with my other half, and I'm getting married this year, is I'm told a lot that I'm not a good listener. That seems to be, you know, a common theme through discussions. That's what I call them. So I don't know if I would be a good boyfriend because I don't listen, apparently. Or I listen, but not detailed enough. Do you know what I mean? So I don't know, Michael. I don't want to put you off me, but I'm not a good listener.
Well, do you not think that part of listening to someone is tuning out for your own fucking sanity?
Yeah, but I tune out at the wrong moments, the vital moments.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
But I agree with you.
I think here's my way of, and I think I'm not being rude when I think this. I think this is a reasonable thing to consider. I think if someone has a story to tell you, don't fucking begin with your fucking breakfast. Get to the fuck. Don't start with a big bang and work forward to something that happened 5 minutes ago. Just tell the fucking story. I'm not going to bring anyone into this, but someone I know isn't a good storyteller. And one day they said, guess what? And what I did was I looked at my watch and I listened to them tell a story. And at the end of the story, I looked at my watch again and it was over 40 minutes long.
No.
Yeah, over 40 minutes. I'm now going to tell you the complete story. Okay?
Okay.
Someone I've never heard of is getting married to someone I've never heard of. That's the story. That's it.
That's not 40 minutes worthy.
No fucking way. So I didn't hear all of it because I didn't need to.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's okay to zone out, and I think you're being hard on yourself for not letting yourself zone out. Imagine hearing all of that. Oh, Christ, who could fucking bear it?
I just think sometimes, I like to tell a story from beginning to end, but I've just learned over the years, no one cares. And so there's few.
Welcome to Earth. No one cares.
No one cares, really. And so you have to just get to the point, and it doesn't feel like I've really lived in that moment of that story. But, you know, so I tell my dog now. That's why I've got a dog. I tell the dog everything. And the dog never remembers who anyone is. But I just feel like it's just, you know, it's either that or I rant on social media. So my dog gets it. And that's fine, I think.
I once told my dog, Jerk, the story of the Stone Roses. And it was a really great conversation because I just learned sort of about the history of the band The Stone Roses.
Hmm.
And it was really nice to just sit down and tell a dog what I had learned. And it was nice. It was really, she was utterly like, I'd say bewitched by this story. She just sat there and really stared intensely at me. And I went, yeah, I'm really getting through to this dog. What a letdown Ian Brown has been to my dead dog, Jerk.
Oh, that is do you know what, I listen to other podcasts are available. I don't know if you have told Neil that, but anyway, I listen to these A Short History and they're fascinating. Mm-hmm. So I learned about the you know, the Irish famine the other day. Found that absolutely mind-boggling that was on so many levels. And then I listened to one about Agatha Christie. And when, you know, Georgie, my other half, came home, I tried to retell some of that. And she said at one point, she said, why are you telling me this? And I was like, oh, because I thought it was quite interesting. And she said, okay. So even if you do get some interesting stuff, people are like, I don't want this.
It'd be brilliant, though, to hear like a historian say that instead of, you know, instead of someone else saying it. Like walking by some sort of ruined castle in Hastings and then halfway through go, why am I telling you this? I don't know. No idea. It's in the past. I don't know why I'm not over this shit.
But we learn from the
past. We do learn.
As I said to Georgie, and she was just looking at me blankly like, yeah, but I've had a long day at work and I've come home and you're telling me about the Irish famine. And I was like, yeah, but you don't understand. Sure. The British kept saying, send us over the Guinness, keep making that. And she's like, I'm not getting it. And I'm like, yeah, but I explained 2 minutes ago why this is just outrageous. Anyway, and then I get more, you know, exciting. I think you're a bit overexcited now. So I just, that's why we've got the dog. So I can talk to the dog and tell the dog interesting things.
I learned the other day that the plague had a lot to do with the troubles in Northern Ireland.
No.
Weirdly, they're directly linked. Because what happened was, during the English occupation of Ireland, during the time of the plague, the Irish were sent out of cities. They weren't allowed to live in cities. So they had to live in the countryside. But of course, the plague spread in cities and not in the country. So during the plague in Ireland, the English died and the Irish didn't.
Right, that's...
And that pissed off some English people.
Yeah. And so, are they still going on about it?
The Irish are going on about it. I wrote about 3 songs about it this morning.
Oh, well, good.
You know, yeah, we're still getting material out of it. That's the main thing.
Should you, I mean, here's the thing. So if you were to play those songs, perform those songs, will you say to the audience, hey, I've got this song about this, or I've got this song about this. Which one would you like to learn about?
Yeah.
I think
you
have to give a menu to people. So this buddy that told you about this person getting married to another person, right? He should have said, or she said, look, this is the story. This is the nuts and bolts. Would you like me to go into detail on it? And you go, no, that's everything.
Right. God, that's such a good point. Why don't people go, right. Like when you watch the news, they don't tell you the full fucking story right away. They give you the news headlines. Right. Tell me the headline. And then I'll say whether or not I want to go any further.
All right. I'm going to see what's on Netflix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tom, welcome to Leghole. I'm going to explain to you what Leghole is. I have 10 questions for you. I'm going to ask these 10 questions. And from your answers, I'm going to write a psychological profile. I'm going to put together a psychological profile of you, which at the end of the show, I will send to the police.
Okay, thank
so,
you.
So, you're very welcome. You know, it's just nice to know that, you know, say anything serious was to happen to you, you go, well, there are reasons, or it couldn't be me because I'm this person.
So, got you.
It's good to have. It's good to have it as a matter of public record.
Okay.
10 questions. The first question and the last question are the same for every guest here at the Lake Hall. But the eight in the middle, the golden eight, Tom, the golden eight, they were all written specially for you. And and I know that you don't know what these questions are. You haven't been told them in advance. But here's the twist. I don't know what those questions are either because I wrote them when I was drunk.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So as big a mystery to me as they are to you.
All right.
But like I say, the first question, the last question, always the same. Here is the first question for you, Tom Deacon. Tom, do you like sherry?
Do I like sherry? In a nutshell, I don't mind it, but you'll soon understand that I will sit on the fence for most things. Sherry is not in my house. If someone says there's nothing else in, would you like a sherry? Because that's all there is. I will have one. But that's my affinity with sherry. And I like sherry casks, which whiskey's kept in. So maybe I do like sherry deep down.
Right. So if someone said to you, would you like a sherry? It's all I've got. You would go, yeah, I'll have it then. You wouldn't go, no, it's 9 a.m. Why are you? You? So I'm going to put down alcoholic in your... in your psychological profile, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Also, you didn't really make a decision, so we'll put uncertain alcoholic. There we go. That's pretty good. Do you know, I've never had a sherry. At least I think I've never had a sherry.
Really?
They're
all the rage in certain are households. They? Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. Christmassy households,
yes.
I reckon. But also, I'd never had a pickled onion until New Year's Eve. Never had a pickled onion.
How did that happen? Was it
really disappointing? I have to say, absolutely disappointing.
Because pickled onion Monster Munch are very enjoyable, but it's a different texture, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. It was the texture. It was like, I expected it to be crunchy, but this is weird crunchy.
Mm.
I didn't like it.
What are you like with pickles, you know, from a jar?
Don't like them.
Oh, okay. All right. Fair enough.
I should have known that, right? I should have known I'm not going to like this because I don't like pickles. Yeah. I don't really like vinegar.
Oh, well then you... No.
What about I'm a fucking idiot.
What about the cleaning properties of vinegar?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's how I shower. Just pour a bucket of vinegar over my... I tell you, I'm wide awake after that.
You know what?
Very refreshing.
It is refreshing. Well, you know people say about shower gel, oh, you get that tingle feeling. Well, that's what vinegar's like if you wash yourself with vinegar. Yeah. You get a really tingly feeling around your genitalia.
You yeah, I always get that, what's it, pure source or whatever it's called?
Yeah
the mint vinegar. Mint source vinegar, yeah. Is that your dog or someone doing an impression of your dog?
I'm so sorry. That is the dog saying, I haven't told the story. What I'll do...
I understand. I'm going to put down dog owner in your psychological profile.
Please do. I mean, she's still barking. She doesn't like anybody.
Oh, I'm going to put down bad dog owner. Okay, bad dog owner. Okay, here's question number two. Tom Deacon, where's the furthest you've gone to die on your arse?
I think dying on my hole in Canada was quite far, isn't it?
Quite far, yeah.
But then Australia's further, and I definitely died there after what could only be described as a monumental journey. Let's go with that. Gladstone in Australia.
Wow, that is amazing. This was never going to be like a fucking, you know, pissing contest, but... I have doubted my arse in New Zealand, so.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I just pip you there.
Was that Auckland?
It was very Auckland. Yeah.
Very Auckland. Okay, cool.
It's incredibly Auckland. Yeah, but there's something about that, though, isn't it? It's if you think, You know, because people who don't do stand up, you go, God, it must be awful when you die on your arse. It sort of isn't, is it? Like, we don't really care. It's part of the job. Sometimes it happens. Who cares, really? But there's something about, like, if I die on my arse in London, I couldn't care less. Yeah. If I die on my arse up the creek, it doesn't hurt my feelings because I can walk home and I'm over it. But
yes,
if I go to Lincoln and I've come all this fucking way for you to be a bunch of pricks, obviously I'd blame them.
Yeah.
Never going to blame me. I'm bloody brilliant.
Well, they haven't helped the situation. I think that's always
the
case.
They really haven't helped the situation.
It's like Gadsden. Hey guys, it's great to be here down under. I've travelled quite a long way to come here, and people just look like apathy. Like, why have you come here? And then there's this a balance where it's a mismatch. They don't want me because they're like, you're not from around here, and I've travelled there, and I'm annoyed that I've travelled that far for that gig. It's not comfortable. Whereas if you can just walk home after the gig, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I'm totally
really
with you on that.
Yeah. I genuinely think that is the measure of success. It's if you can walk home from your gig, then you are a success.
Like
I think about McIntyre at the O2. He didn't walk to that gig.
No.
So what if it's sold out?
Yeah, it's a real hassle to get there. Parking's a nightmare.
His limo driver will have spoken to him and that'll have annoyed him.
Yeah, 100%. Favorite gig is a backyard when I used to live in good old Bethnal Green, and I could put a pie in the oven. I was into pies then. 45-minute pie, in it goes, walk across the park at the gig, do the slot, leave, say goodbye to everybody, put my dressing gown on, and then have a pie. You don't have to have a dressing gown. I'm kind of like what, Japanese in that style.
What I like about that story most, Tom, is you're just complete confidence that you were never going to get an encore. that's what I like about that the most.
I wouldn't have taken one. Always keep them wanting more. And I've got a pie in the oven, which is what I would have said to them.
Okay, I'm just going to put ungrateful down on your psychological profile. Here we go. Here's the next question, Tom Deacon. Tom, do you think comedians and actors will ever really get on?
My wishes are not going to be answered. I would love for them to get on, like deep down at a core level. Like, I'm really happy for you to have got that vibe. But unfortunately, no, I don't think it'll ever happen. You know,
no, not in our lifetime.
No, the ego will not allow them to do so. No. And that is sad, isn't it? It is sad.
It is sad because, you know, I have a couple of friends who are actors. I don't like them, but they are friends. And sometimes they talk to me about their jobs and it makes me want to punch them.
Because you're friends.
I don't because, and also, you know, I don't want to touch them, you know. They're dirty. They're animals, aren't they, actors? They're animals. Mm. Filthy, disgusting animals with their fucking stories about, you know, I don't know, working with David Mitchell or something. You go, fuck off.
Yeah, what's he ever done? It's his wife that won the money in the poker game. So what's he done?
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I have to say that I did have dreams of being an actor. I just didn't want to be myself.
Did you?
Yeah, give me a script.
Nightmares.
I went along to do some work experience at a theatre and I was with the understudy, so not even the actual actors. And they were kind of like, just in case one of them can't make it, you can go on. And they said they had to audition for that role. And it's at that point I thought, wait a minute. So you have to audition to not even get the part, but you're auditioning for the part that you may or may not be needed. And they said yes. And I said, I'll do stand up instead.
Like,
you'll get booked. Yeah. That's it. I don't need that neediness. I'm not having that. No, thank you.
No. Have you ever done a routine about that?
I've never done a routine about that.
It's a shame because that would have been the real fuck you to them if you had gone, no, I'm going to be a stand up and I'm going to get 20 minutes out of your fucking arsery.
I didn't have to audition for this. I just had to go and do the thing that I said I could do. Yeah, actors, very, very misunderstood, but we all understand them. We just choose not to listen to their stories.
Yeah, we just don't like them.
Yeah.
Just don't like them. So you don't think comedians and actors ever get on, so I'm just going to put racist down on your psychological profile. Tom, next question. How many hats do you think I own?
How many hats do I think you own?
Have you ever thought of me as a hat guy?
I don't think, come to think of it, I don't think I've ever seen you in a hat.
Mm.
And I think
if you saw me right now, you'd see me in a hat. Isn't that weird? Why am I wearing a hat? I'm inside. My hair's, is our hats comfortable?
Well, like a woolly hat's quite, I wear one for taking a dog for a walk. It's because I put the hat on because I don't want to be seen. You know, I just don't want to be acknowledged.
Yeah.
I put the hat on so I can. I don't want to see you. Do you know what I mean?
That's why I've got my hat on alone in the house. I just, I don't want to even be seen in my own home.
No, you're not ready. But when you take the hat off, then you're ready. That's why cowboys do it when they walk into a saloon. They take the hat off. They're ready to. I don't know what cowboys do. You know, they sort of take it off. I think you have three hats. One for weddings and funerals. And I think you have...
Yeah, my formal hat. Yeah.
I see you as a bit of a swimmer. I'm not saying you're a slippery sort of fella, but I just see you as someone who, you know, like you go, oh, me, I can do the, what's that, the butterfly. And I'd be like, oh my word, I wasn't expecting you to be able to do the butterfly. So I reckon you've got a swimming hat. And I think you've got one of those Peaky Blinders hats because someone... when you were telling them I watched an episode, thought, I know what Michael will want. He'll want a Peaky Blinders hat. So I reckon you got three.
Okay. I'm going to give you the correct answer to this. I have three hats.
Oh, get in.
I have three hats. Are you ready for this? One of them is a Peaky Blinder hat because my dad gave it to me because he wears Peaky Blinder hats and he thought I would look good in one. It was exactly as you said.
That's fantastic.
Which I'm telling you now, I find very creepy. So I'm going to put creepy down on your psychological profile. You got it too right, Tom. It can't be a coincidence.
No, uncanny.
No. It's weird. Here's the next question, Tom. Tom, you're at the seaside. A dolphin and a cod are both drowning, and you can only save one. Do you bother? Now, see, when I told you at the beginning, I wrote these questions when I was drunk. Now, do you believe me?
Yeah, you were drowning in alcohol and the thought came to you. I don't think it's that I couldn't be bothered. I just feel like you would always feel regret that you didn't save the other one. So just turn a blind eye and keep walking.
It's the British way. It is culturally appropriate for us to pretend that two animals aren't drowning.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, you would think they'd sort that out themselves, but that's not part of the question.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not part of the question. I just think, look, they've got into that mess. They're going to learn.
They're going to learn.
Yeah, they are going to learn. Grow some arms.
Gonna. Evolve, dickheads. We have a bit,
well, debatable. I don't even know what a cod would look like. I don't know.
Do you know
what?
That is such a good point. I'm not sure I know what a cod looks like.
Mm. I know what a dolphin looks like because you can swim with them. But no one's opening up an amusement for like the weekends. I don't know, in sort of the Guildford area again. Would you like to swim with cod? It's very good for you.
Going on an Alaskan cruise to watch the cod. Oh, it's amazing. Got some great photos of this cod in the distance.
Yeah. So I don't know what they look like. I could have bumped into a few cod on my way to work yesterday and I would never. I don't know what they look like. I only know what they look like when battered. That's awful.
Do you buy into all this bullshit about dolphins?
I didn't know there was a PR campaign for them.
It's good. Dolphins are friendly. That's a ridiculous statement, isn't it?
I don't buy that at all. I do remember...
It is a ridiculous statement.
Of course, it's outrageous. I feel like Echo the Dolphin on the Sega Mega Drive did a fantastic job to enhance that. But I think they know it. Do you know what I mean? You say that about people that are like, oh, they're doing well, and they know it. And I think that's what dolphins are.
It's saying like a dolphin is friendly. It's a bit like saying, oh, Northerners are friendly. You know, it's fucking, of course, the Northerners mistake friendliness and talking at you, boring you to death. You know, they get those two things fucking confused. But dolphins, I mean, they can't. You can't all be friendly. You're not all one fucking dolphin. There's got to be a renegade dolphin that couldn't give a shit. And that would be the one I would meet. I don't know if you know this. I have a phobia of the sea.
Oh.
I've got a very severe phobia of the sea. I'm terrified of the sea. And I know that if I got in it, I would meet the renegade dolphin and it would bite me.
Yeah. No, that isn't what you'd... Yeah, so I don't get in, I think, is the message we've learned from that, Michael, for you. But yeah. What is it about the sea that you don't trust or don't like? You can't see the bottom?
I'm a little bit older than you, Tom. I was taken to the cinema when I was 6 years old to see Jaws.
That'll do it.
And yeah, that'll do it. Absolutely. Job done, Mum and Dad. And where did we go for holidays every year? The beach. Oh. Well done.
And that's cool. You stay in the sand. You stay in the pebbly shingles. That's fine. Yeah. I'm not going in that. That's absolutely fine. I just think it's a bit... I'm not a beachy person. I think it's just a bit of a waste of time. Like, unless it's really, really hot and I need to cool down, I've got no desire to go in the sea. We could swim around. I'm all right, actually. Thank you.
What's the difference between swimming in the sea and drinking from the toilet? It's where turds live, you know.
Yeah, and okay. I think if you extend that out, not every dolphin is friendly. Some of them are turds, and that they get put in that bracket.
Thank you. Finally, thank you. So I'm just going to put hates dolphins down in your psychological profile, and cod ignorant. This, your psychological profile is coming along really, really well, Tom. I think you're coming out of this really brilliantly. Tom, here's the next question. What are you most confident and proud of, your ability to dance or your ability to order an Uber?
You
might not be good at either of those things. I've no idea.
I'm not, actually. I feel like Uber, whatever I've done, has caused the driver to have a meltdown. They seem to drive around in circles continuously. Right. Sort of the car app is spinning, and I imagine the car is like, oh my God, Tom Deacon, the ignorant cod guy. And dancing, no, I've really gone off dancing. I liked a little jive, but then everyone's doing it. It became popular again, and I'm like, I'm not having that. I'm not going to conform. So I'm rubbish at both, Michael, if I can be honest with you.
Listen, that is some refreshing honesty right there, if you don't mind me saying. I think I can order an Uber. I think I can do it. I'm not convinced I can dance.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, in that, maybe I am that again. The uncertainty's come in. I can order an Uber. I have done. It's not an easy process. Dancing, really I have not. Done, but I needed a lot of alcohol.
Yeah, and I'll be honest, I need a lot of booze before I'll dance, but by that time, you know, I'm quite happy just drinking. I'll just continue with that.
Yeah.
Actually, kind of change the question. What are you most confident and proud of? Your ability to dance, ability to order an Uber, or ability to have a drink?
Oh, have a drink. It's the easiest.
Easy, isn't it? Really? So,
I'd say worryingly so. And if this economy is going to relift itself, we need to really think about how much we're spending on that. We're making it too easy for people to drink. You know what I mean? So are actually, let's make it more difficult as a challenge.
Have you been to a pub?
Yes, I've frequented quite a few. They're very they make it too easy. People chat to you. They, you know, it's too friendly. It's warm in there. There's music.
That's true. That is true. It's probably cheaper to go to a pub now than just to stay at home with the heating on. So fuck it.
Yeah. And I've actually worked. I'm actually the one skill I have. You know, you go to the toilets in a pub. They tend to have the push.
I've been to the toilet.
Yeah, you've got to eventually, or you do it on the wall outside. I push the tap and it just fires out and then it stops. I've worked out a system in which to wash myself, like showering. So I some people say they go to the gym to shower and clean and it saves on their bills. I do it all at the pub now and I've got my technique down. I'm living the dream, Michael.
Buy a bag of peanuts. There you go. That's dinner cooked. Everything. That's money saving tips here on Leghole. Next question. Thrifty. I'm going to put thrifty down. Next question, Tom Deacon. Which six celebrities would you like as pallbearers?
What a question.
Yeah.
What a question.
I'm going to add an extra bit onto this. And who's dead? See, it doesn't have to be your funeral. You can pick anyone.
Okay. I'm going to stick with me. Because I'd like it to be well attended, and I know immediately there's six people that have turned up.
That's good.
Celebrities. Oh, wow. I would like some of the famous celebrities that I've interviewed. Could I have that as my answer?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, great.
Okay, so let's go with... Oh, I was going to give away four then. I will. I'll stick with it. JLS. Okay? I'll have them... That's four of them.
That's four.
Very odd with the little one, the littlest of the bunch. That's Aston.
Sure.
Because I don't know where he's going to go. That's going to be a lopsided. Mm-hmm.
He'll have to wear a big funeral shoes. Yeah.
And I'll have at the front Katy Perry and Taylor Swift, please.
Have you interviewed them?
Yes.
Wow. That's exciting, isn't it?
It is exciting, but I feel like I don't care that I've interviewed them in many respects. It doesn't come up often, but you said celebrities, and I just feel like that's the entertainment sorted afterwards. So I feel like I want to entertain people at the end, and having Taylor Swift and Katy Perry there, bit of eye candy. And as a JLS gentleman, bit of eye candy. So everyone's catered for.
I've interviewed famous people.
I have. Okay,
Doing it now. But also, here's. I don't know. I don't know how this story's got to go down. But here we go. I once interviewed Brittany Murphy. Do you know Brittany Murphy, the actor Brittany Murphy?
What's she in?
I'm not here to be questioned, Tom.
Oh, okay. Oh, sorry. Okay? I do apologize.
The actor, Brittany Murphy, and I interviewed her. And at the end of the interview, she gave me a kiss.
Where?
And on the cheek.
Okay, good, good.
And I kissed her on the cheek. Yep. And a few months later, she died.
Okay. I mean,
so what I'm saying is that was the kiss of death, wasn't it? It was just...
I mean, wow. It was, wasn't it? Yeah. I mean, is she really dead? I mean,
Yeah, she's really dead.
Oh, yeah.
Sad, isn't it? And well, she's very, very good in those films. Oh. Don't ask which films.
Yes. Ashton Kutcher just married. They were in that together, weren't they? I remember.
Oh,
that.
Were they? Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Just married. Yeah. And then, oh, blimey. Yeah. Oh, really sorry about it. I just thought I would have six people that I've interviewed and it would be quite comical because I've only really asked them a couple of questions, really. And they're, why are they there? I think that would be a talking point for people because people always worry about what to talk about at funerals. But they'll see on the card with my face at the top, get my agent to put whatever photo. And then they'll be like, oh, have you seen who's the pallbearers? And they go, oh my God, it's Taylor Swift, Katy Perry, JLS, what are they doing here? And it's a talking point. You don't need to be sad about my death.
Would they honestly say that though? Wouldn't they just go, oh, there's Katy Perry, Taylor Swift, and some guys?
Yeah, some people are like, I hope they're not singing. And the lock on my head of like a connection there is I Kissed a Girl. That's really what this segment is, because you kissed Brittany Murphy. Katy Perry sings about it. And you just got to be careful who you kiss. The kiss of death. Have you kissed anyone else recently? Sorry, this isn't me chatting to you.
No, here's the thing. Here's the thing. I've just remembered on the same day that, let's face it, I killed Brittany Murphy. I kissed Robbie Williams six times, and he's
just
not
to be
dead.
Sure. Do you know what it is? Yeah. It's an even number. If you'd have kissed him five times, he would have died.
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
One kiss, poison. Second kiss.
Oh, so it's like off on. There you go. Yeah.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Can I tell you about Robbie Williams as I'm sure. I met him? Where did you meet him?
I was interviewing him in Copenhagen for an MTV thing a long time ago.
That's awesome. Copenhagen, what a place. But also,
yeah.
Oh, you were just there for that one interview?
No. I was interviewing a lot. I did the backstage interviews for the European Music Awards.
That's
in Copenhagen.
Well, I know we haven't got time, but I would like, at the beginning of this, you did say we should hang out. I would love to chat about that. I would like, and that's brilliant. Oh, good. That's locked in. I'm excited about this and chatting to you, but I'm also excited about that. Well, I met Robbie Williams working with him. He was on quite a hefty chunk of money to do this particular show that we were putting on. And he was showing magic tricks to people that would watch. And and I showed him a trick, and he was quite impressed. He was like, oh, wow. And then we did the show, and about an hour in, because it was a 4-hour record, it was madness. He's backstage tucking into some food. It was just me and him. And I went, you're right, Robbie. And he said, oh, can I just say, you're doing such a great job, Alex. And I didn't correct him, but I took the sentiment that I'd had done a good job. It didn't matter my name. I was doing a great job of hosting it. It's not put me off Robbie Williams. It was nice of him to say I was doing a good job.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. Yeah.
But I didn't correct him and
but he did think you were Alex Zane.
Yeah. So even if I tried to like bump into him again and he wouldn't remember me, he's doing too many gaming mobile phone ads. But he hasn't got time for that. But Candy Crush stuff. But look, if he did meet me again, I'd probably correct him then. I'd say, oh, it's Tom, by the way. He wouldn't care. But I thought it was really nice, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he comes across as a nice guy.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. You know, and a little bit sad.
Oh, very sad. Tinged with sadness. Yeah. But I think to be a songwriter, you do have to be. You can't be, as I'm finding out in my life, I'm absolutely, you know, I'm so content. I'm not able to write any material. I'm just too happy. And people don't like that, do they?
No. Well, it's not funny.
Yeah. But it's deluded now. I've said that. So actually, I could write about that.
Yeah. And if you don't mind, I'm just going to put deluded down on your psychological profile. And also, you were talking about all the celebrities you know, so I'm going to put egotistical.
Thank you.
Egotistical. Here we go. Listen, great answers. These are great answers. Can't wait to tell you about the European Music Awards. I'm going to tell you this one tiny little thing. The first band that I interviewed were Coldplay, right? And I'd never interviewed anyone before, ever. And I said to them just before the interview, right, you are the first person I've ever interviewed, ever. You're the first people ever. And during the interview, one of them noticed that my hand was shaking while holding the mic.
Aww.
And they went, oh, wow, this really is your first interview, isn't it? And I went, yeah, it is. It really is. And I can tell because your hand's shaking so much. And I went, oh, trust me, it's got nothing to do with interviewing you. Literally seconds before this interview started, I was told the next person I'm speaking to is Madonna. So,
slam.
If you think I'm hearing a word coming out of your heads, you are fucking wrong.
All right, it's just come to my mind. The Hoosiers. Do you remember the Hoosiers? The band?
Of course, yeah.
I think they have that song, She's So Lovely, all of the, oh, is that, no, that's Scouting for Girls. So Hughes Years has,
I don't think anyone would care or know.
Well, they sound the same in a lovely way.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
But I remember they were recording downstairs for the show. They got the song Worried About Ray, I remember that. But the guy, the lead singer, walked past, and I'd heard them filming their bit before we did an interview. And I said to him, what I was trying to say was, was it a one-take wonder? But what came out of my mouth as I passed the lead singer of the Hughes was, one-hit wonder?
Oh, God. So it was a bit like me kissing Brittany Murphy and she died. You just hit them with their future.
Yeah.
Oh, one hit, one deck. I have declared it.
Oh, I feel awful. Like, I see that really does, like, oh, why did I? My brain was saying, was it a one take wonder? But all I actually said was one hit wonder. And they seemed like really nice guys. I wasn't trying to be a dick. And so sometimes, you know, I can get myself into trouble.
Yeah. Oh, you're very sweet. I'm going to put very sweet down. Very sweet.
Thank you.
Very sweet. Right, here we go. Here's I think it's question number 8, something like that. Here we go. Tom, what do you think of Finland?
Okay, well, I will say this before all the newsy stuff that's going on. I absolutely love Finland. I love it. I love the fact they don't do small talk. I love the weather. I love the fact they really enjoy sauna, which is sauna translated. And I really like Finland. I think it's a fantastic place.
Yeah, I've never been. And I'll be honest with you, I've not given it much thought.
You should go. They love comedy. They are to the point, and I've eaten reindeer. I've eaten reindeer in Rovaniemi in Lapland.
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
You ate a reindeer?
Yeah. And they said, wait till we cook it, Tom. And I was like, no. I'm just going to tuck in now while it's still alive. And just started ripping just big chunks of meat.
Why am I laughing at that? That's against all my principles.
Imagine just getting it so wrong. The translation. Okay. We eat reindeer. Okay, I'm going to go and do it now. I'm just fighting a reindeer down. So I think they're bonkers. They're brilliant. And I would love to go back and do some comedy in Finland and just see the place. They have a little place called Tampere, which is in the north, which I feel like I'm delving into boring territory. You didn't ask for this, but I'm telling you now, is the Manchester of Finland. And then you've got Helsinki, which is kind of the London. And in Tampere, they drink a lot. They're fantastic. Great place. Love it. I've actually got excited. I don't know if you knew this about, but I really do love Finland. I think it's a brilliant place.
But the question, it's a success.
Yes.
I would say. I have put on Santa's naughty list down on your psychological profile. I think eating a reindeer is going to fuck him off. But that's on you. That's on you. I thought it was really interesting how you pronounce that place name. Can you pronounce it again?
Tampere.
Right. Because it's you didn't go Ampere. You put an accent on that. And I'll tell you why I find that interesting, because people do that a lot, don't they? They name a place and they sort of do the accent. But I'm from a town called Newtownards, and no one ever puts on the accent. People go, oh, you're from Newtownards. And they go, oh, I guess that is how you would say it properly. But the accent is Newtownards. I think it's because it doesn't sound like a word, so people just leave the accent alone with my
Yeah, I suppose. Maybe Tampere. I guess I would butcher it. But that's how they say it, Tampere. So I was going to pronounce it like that. The best phrase I had, because I tried to just learn a bit of Finnish. There's a phrase that they go, hikanen disco pillo. Right, which means sweaty disco pussy, which is my favorite.
So much education in this episode of Lake Hall today. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah, he's got a disco pillow.
I like it a lot. We're going to go on to the one but not last question.
Okay.
Here we go. Tom Deacon, which illness has made you laugh the most?
Blocked ears.
That's quite funny.
Yeah, I mean, it is. Yeah. I had blocked ears and I didn't know I was shouting. People are like, I can't hear you. You need to say it louder.
See, that is really funny. Yeah, that's really funny to go around shouting and not knowing. Although it's technically what I do.
Yeah. Mates, on a night out were like, we can't hear you, mate. You're going to have to shout louder. And people kept looking over and I had no idea because my ears were fully blocked.
Oh, that is brilliant. That is good. I wish your ears had been blocked today. That would have been lovely. that's very good. I'm going to put down ill. Let's just put ill. Just put ill down. The final question, Tom Deacon. And this is the big one. Like I said, the first question, the last question, always the same for all of the guests here at Leg Hall. Here's the final question, Tom Deacon. What is Leg Hall?
Well, it's the place where you... It's tough, isn't it?
Exactly. I haven't figured it out at all.
I'm trying to think of the Finnish translation because I'm so well-versed in Finnish.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, big time. I would say...
You've been there. You must have picked it up.
Do you know what? It's one of my gifts, actually.
I've realized that's what happened to me when I went to New Zealand. Picked up English in no time.
Yeah, kia ora, bro.
Yeah,
lovely. Ka pai.
Chops. Yeah.
You're Michael Legg, and the Legg Hole is really where you take people on a journey, which ends up hollish. That's not hell. A hollish. Sort of, and it depends on the guest and how far they're going and how much of a hole they get themselves into. So I think you are the facilitator in trapping people for their character identification. So I feel it's not an actual place. It's a figurative state of mind. And I've been in the Leg Hole because I am now currently in the Leg Hole.
Beautifully put, bit weird. So I'll put. Bit weird down your psychological profile. And hey, listen, Tom.
Yeah.
We can now reveal your full psychological profile, which we will hand over to the police at the end. That's a promise at the end of every episode of Leg Hall. Tom Deacon, you are uncertain. You're an alcoholic. You're a bad dog owner. You're ungrateful, racist, creepy. You hate dolphins. You're cod ignorant. You're an alcoholic again. Thrifty, deluded, egotistical, very sweet. You're on Santa's naughty list. You're ill and a bit weird. And all of those things, Tom, come together to make our friend and special, special guest, Tom Deacon. Everyone applause. Everyone applause. Thank you so much for being my guest today, Tom. I love you.
I love you too.
Really think you're great.
Thanks,
Neil, for listening. We will see you next time at Leg Hall. Goodbye!
Bye!
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.